if you would, I'm going to ask that you stand if you're able to. The reason why we stand for the reading of the Lord, it shows the sign of respect. You stand to say the Pledge of Loyal Allegiance, correct? The national anthem, you stand, right? Why do you stand whenever the Pledge of Allegiance is said? It's respect. That's why we stand for the reading of the Word. You can see that in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. You'll see where that's referenced if you want to check me on it. That's why we stand in reverence of the Lord in this, the Word of God. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 95, verse 6. Let me read it from the King James Version. Psalms 95, verse 6. It reads, O come, let us worship. Everyone say, worship. O come, let us worship. Worship. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The book of Psalms is really a song book that even the Judaism still uses to this day. They were written, by the most part, by King David. If you've been here for Sunday school, we learned a little about King David. He was a statesman. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a musician. He was a writer. But most of all, he had a heart for God. If we look at Psalms chapter 97, verse 7, Psalms 97, 7, confounded be all that they serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship, everybody say worship, him, all ye gods. Worship him, all ye gods. What David is saying here is, make all the idols that you want. Make all these images that you want. But let me tell you, he has no equal. What he is saying is, all the worldly things that man creates must bow down and worship the one true God. Psalms chapter 99, verse 5. Psalms 99, verse 5 reads, exalt the Lord your God and what? I'm sorry, what? At his footstool, for he is holy. My favorite verse, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And David danced.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
David danced before the Lord. David didn't have the Holy Ghost. God hadn't died. Jesus hadn't died. The Spirit hadn't came down on earth and it filled man. It was the flesh. But he danced for joy. He danced in praise. Accelerating God, praising him, exalting his name. The title today is Dance Like David Dance. Brother Tim, will you say the open prayer, please? The rest of service. Before you're seated, I want to ask that you close your eyes, that you raise your hands. Lift up your hearts and worship the Lord one more time. Praise him with all your might. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise your name, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Oh, God, we lift you up, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I think we'd do a little bit better than that. If every man, every woman, every child will close their eyes, raise their voice, lift him up, magnify the Lord, he will entertain his presence. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated, but don't stop your worship. According to Merriam-Webster, worship, the definition, is a transitive verb, meaning to honor, to show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power. To regard with great or extravagant respect, to honor or devotion. Worship means to adore, to deify, to glorify, to revere. To venerate means to honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. In an intellectual standpoint, the word of worship means an extreme devotion. An extreme devotion. It means an intense love. Not a, hey, how you doing? Love you. Good to see you. It's an intense love. There is a difference between praising him and worshiping him. A lot of times we hear those two words lumped together. Let's praise and worship him. Okay. But what does that really, truly mean? When you're praising God, you're thanking him. You are giving him thanks for all that he has done for you. That's what you're doing. That's what praise is. Whenever Lainey did her spelling test this week, she struggled for a while with her handwriting and some of her words. And I am the world's worst handwriting person. My parents can tell you that. My wife can tell you that. I've had to slow down so I write more legibly. Lainey has written much more clearly, right? And how many did you miss on your spelling word? Miss zero. Good job. That's called praise. Good job. You did great. I'm proud of you. That's what praise is. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, for my car. Thank you, Lord, that I have food on the table. Thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank you, Lord, that I have a bed to lay my head on. Thank you, Lord, for my family. That's called praise. But when you worship. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. When you're going to worship him, you're bringing that to another level. You're bringing that to him. You're magnifying him. When you want to magnify something, what do? You make it bigger. And when you make something bigger, how do you make it bigger? You got a microscope. How does that work? What's the purpose of that? How does that operate? Anybody remember? A telescope? Y'all don't remember what a microscope is or a telescope is? I have not one single hand raised in this auditorium. Not a one. A microscope or a telescope is going to use some different thicknesses of glass. They're bent a little different. Sometimes they use mirrors. They're going to magnify it. There's multiple layers of it. There's several pieces put together to make it bigger. You may be looking at me like, where are you going with a magnifying glass or telescope? And you're talking about worship. Whenever you have one person praying and worshiping God, that's one. But if you can get more. You can get several others to praise and worship. It's magnifying the Lord. You have more concentration. It's a bigger praise. It's a bigger worship. Something that God loves. The shepherds came to do what? They came to worship him. I came to this house today to worship God. I didn't come to see you. I love you. You're nice. You're my friends. But I didn't come to see you. I came to worship him. You didn't come here today to see me. You came here today to worship him. We came here today to worship him. I can worship him by myself. And that's totally acceptable, Pastor. I can worship him anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter where I'm at, what situation I'm in. Doesn't matter. I can worship him anywhere. And God accepts that praise. But if I can get two or three of you, four or five of you, six or seven of you, or all 50 of you that's sitting here today to magnify him. You saw what happened a little while ago when everyone was praising him and worshiping him. Did you feel the difference between the beginning of service and to where we were just worshiping him? Did you feel that? You worship big. You worship big, God's going to show up big. You worship a little bit, quiet mouse. Look, I'm an introvert. Anybody who's been around me long enough knows that I don't like talking to a lot of people. It's kind of crazy because that's my job, is I talk to people for a profession. But I like to be quiet and reserved. My wife tells me it's irritating for her sometimes because I'm not an excitable person, am I? She's like, oh, I wish you would show some emotion. I planned this. It was just great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And I'm being sincere. And that's great. It's wonderful. I love it. It's taken her 15 years to understand when I say, yeah, I do. I like it. I appreciate it. For her to know, like, okay, God, I wish he would just show some emotion. Like, yes, thank you. That's awesome. But that's not me. But, when it comes to God and it comes to worshiping him, I'm going to be a fool. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you respond. Because me, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to magnify him because he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of my time. He is worthy of me to praise him. Anytime that you think that, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to praise him. You may not feel that way. There may be some things you've done in the past. But I want you to remember this. You may not be worthy, but he is worthy. He is worthy of your praise at all times. And whenever you start to praise him, and when you start to worship him, that unworthiness that you feel, it's gone. It'll go away. You'll move forward. If you need a miracle today, if you need a touch, you have an illness, you have a sickness, don't matter if it's a physical in your body, if it's mental, if you need a blessing, be it financially, be it, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with my career, I got this next opportunity, do I take it? God, I need direction with it. If you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, stop begging for it. Because I'll tell you right now, you sit there and you keep on going to God over and over and over and begging over and over again? How many parents are in the sanctuary today? How many times does Avalon go to you and say, hey, Mom, can I have this? No, Abby. Hey, Mom, can I have this? No, Abby. Hey, Mom, can I have this? No, Avalon. Hey, Dad, do you think I could have this over here? No, not right now. But, Dad, but don't ask again. Stop. Mom, Dad heard you the first 15 times. They heard you. They're waiting for you to do something different. They're waiting for you to, hey, Mom, can I? There's this really new bike that I really want. It's really cool. I want this. Hey, there's this new Xbox game that I really want to play, or a new PS5 or whatever they are now. That tells you how far I am from video gaming. But there's this new game I want. Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? No, no, no. You need to do something about it. Okay, all right. So that's whenever you go out and you start doing your chores by yourself. That's whenever you buckle down your grades and Mom, Dad go, hey, good job. You did good. Here you go. Same thing with God. Stop begging him for the same things over and over. He heard you. There's a reason why he hasn't responded yet. Did you worship him? When we pray, we're taught to, when you start to pray with him, you don't come right at him and say, hey, God, I need $1 million. No. Hey, God, I need my foot fixed on it. It's really killing me. My knees are killing me. This weather, I feel like a 90-year-old man. God, please heal my knees. No. No. He's more apt to listen to you when you talk to him. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. I praise your name, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. I lift you up, Lord. Oh, God, you're worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then that's going to get his attention. You want to know where you can find God? You want to know where you can find him? It's in that tear that comes down your cheek as you're praying. It's in that song that you're singing his praises, that you're worshiping him, that you're magnifying him. If you listened and paid attention to any of the words that were up here on this teleprompter for the past week or this entire service today, they all had the same thing on it. Worship, praise, worship, praise, worship. Praise. I didn't tell Sister Tracy as far as, hey, this is what my sermon is. This is what it's geared around. No. No, these are the songs God led her to. Worship. Praise. Worship. Praise. Pastor's opening verse today. Pastor, this is what my title is. Pastor, this is what I'm speaking on. Didn't talk to him about it. It's worship. Praise. Worship. Praise. Worship. Praise. Worship, praise. He's trying to tell us something. God enjoys that music that we have. He takes joy in that. That's where you're going to find him, in his presence. He likes the keyboard being played and musical instruments and the trumpet being played through that music. It's magnifying him. It's a form of worship to him. You'll find him and worship among his people. You'll find it amongst his people. Because like we said, as more people worship, as more of us get together and lift him up and to magnify his name. That's what we're referring to when you say magnify his name. We lift him up. You have several praising him. You have several worshiping him. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I will be also. I apologize, I'm learning technology, I'm going from paper to digital. I lost my place. So if we look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, I'm not going to read it all. I think it's very familiar to most of us. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. It's the story of three Hebrew children. Now, scholars will say their names were not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were nicknames from their origins, where they came from. But we know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where King Nebuchadnezzar had an idol made, and some unruly underlings of King Nebuchadnezzar talked him into making a rule that whenever the trumpets sound, all the people have to bow and praise these golden idols, and if they're not, they'll be punished. Okay? King Nebuchadnezzar really enjoyed the company of these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were nice kids. He liked them. He was partial to them. So one afternoon, the trumpets sounded, and these three boys were like, not going to happen. I'm not going to worship something else. There's only one true God, and then I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm not going to praise those little things, those little idols that are man-made. I'm going to praise the great I Am. So they got upset, and the king was so angry and so furious that he commanded them to make the fiery furnace seven times hotter than it ever has been. And then in their haste, because he was so angry, he's telling them, do it now. They get the fire all hot, and they chuck these three kids in it. It was so hot that the men that threw them in there died because of the heat. I've been in some really hot situations before as a firefighter. There's only been two fires that drove me out. One was at a auto shop that had racing fuel in it. If you know anything about racing fuel, you can't see the flame. It's hot. It burnt my bunker gear. It took my helmet and my SBA unit, the whole thing kind of shrunk because of the heat. That's hot. I can't imagine how hot it was for those guys just to die from it. Now, those three kids, nowhere in that entire story, nowhere in Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 28, do you see where those three boys were like, God, please get me out of here. Oh, God, please, I'll do anything. Get me out. No, they didn't beg God. No, they weren't begging him. Do you know what they were doing? Oh, God, I praise you. I magnify you, Lord. I lift you up, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. Oh, God, you are glorious. Oh, God, you are wonderful. Oh, God, you are love. You are peace, Lord. Oh, God, you are our salvation. They were praising him. They were worshiping him. They weren't begging. They were praising him. They were worshiping him. The effect that that had, God dwelt within their presence. Because you go back and read that story, you'll see where King Nebuchadnezzar is like, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and you. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and oh my God. Oh my God. What's that? Who's that? We threw three in there, right, fellas? Yeah, there's three of them. I mean, a bunch of guys died throwing them in there, so yeah, there's only three left. Why is there four in there? Why are there four walking around in there? God showed up. If you're in Sunday school this morning, you heard that already. God showed up. They are praising, they are worshiping God. How about Paul and Silas? Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. This is the English Standard Version. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying and singing hymns to God. Singing hymns, what are we doing when we're singing to God? We're worshiping Him. We're worshiping Him. Paul and Silas were praying, saying, God, get us out of here. We're tired. Let's go. Nope. Nope. It's not what it says. It doesn't say that. God, please get us out of here. This is a dungeon. This is a nasty place. There's rats running around. There's dead bodies that have been there forever. This guy, I don't think he had a leg. I think he had a leg in the beginning, but ain't a leg now. And that smell. Oh, get me out of here. Nope. That's not what Paul and Silas did. I don't know if that's not what Andy would do. Andy'd be like, God, please get me out of here. No. No, Paul and Silas, they're praising. They're praising. They're worshiping. They were praising. They were worshiping. They were praising. They were worshiping Him. They were lifting Him up. They were magnifying Him. And what happens? What happens? And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, not 2, 3, 4, 5 days from now, not a month from now, not 6 months from now, not 15 years from now. Immediately, all the doors were opened. And everyone's bonds were unfastened. We sing a song. We sing a song. It breaks every chains. Breaks every chains. It's not just a physical chain. It's not just a mental chain. It's a spiritual chain. Do you know how those chains get broke? Do you know how we make that change? Do you know how we do that? It's in worship. It's in worship. It's in praise. It's in magnifying Him. It's in worshiping Him. It's in lifting Him up. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. They didn't get their miracle because they're great men of God. No, no, no. They received their miracle because they began to worship the one true King. Like the songwriter says, God is great and greatly to be praised. But if God is insignificant to me, then my approach to Him will be also in the same manner. You could tell a lot about someone, Pastor, in their worship. You can. Worship is an attitude towards God. That might be tough. That may be hard. You reveal something about yourself when you worship Him. You really, truly do. Those who don't know God, they don't worship God. They don't. It's unusual for them. It's odd. Why should I worship something that I don't know? But we know Him. We know Him. We profess to know Him. He who is alone God. That beside Him, there is no other God. He is the creator of all things. He is the great I am. We worship the Alpha, the Omega. We worship Jesus. You reveal your state of your own personal spiritual maturity in the way you worship God. Now, this is going to be tough to swallow, but I want you to listen. If you worship God only when you're in the mood to worship God, I only feel good right now to worship God now. Where are you on that spiritual scale? Are you up here? Are you the professor? Are you the student? Or are you in preschool? Are you in elementary in your thinking as far as, I'll just worship him when Andy feels good? If you feel like it, then I'll worship him. If you only worship God when you feel a little, you're sitting in church and you feel little doodads, you feel those little goosebumps, it's like, oh, I'm going to worship him now. You're spiritually immature. You are. You should worship him anywhere, anytime, any place. Regardless who's around, worship him, praise him, magnify him. You want that blessing? You want that? What have you done? Do you only worship him on Sundays when you come to church? Pastor, I don't have time to make it to Sunday school. It's not that important to me. I've got other things to do. I'll be there at worship service because it makes me feel good. That's why I'm going to show up. I can't make it to Wednesday night, Pastor. I work Thursday. Really? There's only a handful in this church that's retired that don't work on Thursdays, but they still work, trust me. But when I go to church on Sunday, I like the way it feels. Jesus loves me. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. And worship him. That's the only time you worship him, but you still expect God to show up when you need him? Do we worship him? Do we praise him? Do we magnify him regardless of the situation? When we're in the prison cell, when we're thrown in the fiery furnace? How about Job? Anybody in the Bible had a right to not worship and praise God? It would be Job. That poor man. Wow. Even his wife's like, why don't you curse God and die? Get it over with. No. No. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to thank him for all that he has done. The Bible tells us that we should enter into his courts with praise. The revelation is understanding is the secret. No matter how unworthy that you feel that you are, we have to change our mindset to worship him, and suddenly his worthiness will come off of each of one of us in the presence of the Lord, and we will understand that he is worthy. I am worthy of his love. I am worthy to praise him. I am worthy to magnify him. And as you continue to worship him, and as you continue to magnify him and lift him up, all those needs, all those wants will be met. They will. When you come to the altar, I hope you do today, to ask God for forgiveness. Speak with Pastor. Pastor, I feel like I need to be baptized. I'm seeking the Holy Ghost. I need that healing. Have it in your mindset. Before you ever leave that pew, you're not going to beg him for that when you come up here. You're going to come up here to worship him, to magnify him, to lift him up, and to thank him and give him that praise. Has anyone ever heard of the IQ test before? Anyone taken an IQ test before? All right. So the IQ test means the intellect quotient. It's a series of questions that some psychiatrists have came back up. It's all the way back to the 1800s. I think the one that is used the most now was then in 1912 by a German scientist. And that the scale ranges from around 70 on the low end to 140 on the high end, the genius, the 130 to 140. About 52% of the population is of average intelligence. So most of our education system is geared towards that 52%, right? Then you have some that are in that 16% that are above average. They're in your accelerated classes. They're a little more intelligent. They grasp things a little bit more. There's that 6.4% that's considered gifted individuals. They're your math whizzes. They're your scientists, your doctors, your PhDs, your MDs. That's where that 6% is. And then you go up to that 2.1%, and they are considered geniuses. They're in that 130 and above. They are well above me, man. They understand a lot more. More things come easier for them. But on the other side of that 52%, there's about 16% of the population that's of below average intelligence. Just below that. And then you have another group that's at 6.5% that is cognitively impaired. They have very difficult learning disabilities. They have a very difficult time. That's kind of how society has lumped everyone throughout the entire world. Don't care what walk of life you are. You may be a manager. You may be a landscaper. You may be a carpenter. But that doesn't mean anything but your intelligence level. That's what they gauge you off of, is your intelligence level. And that's where they kind of hook us up. So I heard something years ago. I cannot remember why I heard it, but it's something they call the WQ. Anyone want to know what the WQ is? It's your worship quota. It's how you rank in your worship. As we look around congregations, Pastor, you'll see that most churches, most congregations at that 52%. What that 52% is, are we're going to stand up. Okay, it's time for songs and hymnals. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, yep. All right, well, hey, how you doing? God bless you. Good to see you here today. That's what your average is going to be. That's what the average congregation would do. Then you would have that 16% that's a little bit smaller than that large group that you have, but you got that 16%. That's whenever whomever is preaching is, and the closing service, they open the altar up. That's that 16% that comes up. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here for you to listen. I'm here for you to teach you on worship and praise. It's that 16%, they come up. And you see that 16% religiously coming up. They're praising, they're worshiping, they're magnifying. And the other 52% sent back going, oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel good for them. God bless them. That looks good. I'm glad God's touching them. I'm glad God's using them. But then, Pastor, you have that 2%. You have that 2%. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise you. Oh, God, I magnify you, Lord. Oh, God, I lift you up. They don't care what you think about them. They don't care how you perceive them. They're here to worship him. They're here to magnify him. They're here to lift him up. They're here to worship God. They're here to get something. nothing from him. They don't care what happens around them. They're here to worship him. They're going to get that blessing. Because they don't care what you think about them. They don't care if you just want to sit there and patty cake for Jesus. I think Pastor said it before. Just play patty cake for Jesus. No, no. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to magnify him. I'm here to get something from him. I'm here to respond to his presence.